Hello, teachers. Ben Jennings here, and we're on session 7 in our study in 1st and 2nd Peter and Jude. This lesson will be for the week before Easter this year, April 13th, and it covers 1st Peter 4, 1 through 11. Peter's been talking to people who are facing persecution. That seems to be a lot brought up in this letter. And today he's giving them yet more in this particular text, giving them yet more instruction on how they can walk faithfully through persecution, through a life of persecution. And obviously, faithfulness to God when you're going through persecution is also faithfulness to God, even if you're not necessarily going through the same level of persecution. And so that's the idea of today's lesson. The objective statement we wrote is this: every believer can walk faithfully by sharing these similarities with Jesus. Jesus Christ is the ultimate example of how to live, especially dealing with persecution, and that's kind of what Peter deals with here. The first way that we can walk faithfully like Jesus, the first similarity there is the same mind. He says in verse 1, "For as much then as Christ hath also suffered in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind." So he goes, hey, Christ suffered when he was on this earth, and he could suffer faithfully because he had a certain mindset. He had a certain way of thinking. And he says, literally here, I think it's cool in verse 1, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. It's like this military language of be ready for battle, be ready for difficulty, be ready for challenge by having that same kind of mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. He's not saying here that there's some kind of secondary spiritual status that you can get to where you no longer sin anymore. Some people have taken it that way. I think what he's essentially saying is that the strength that it takes to suffer for Jesus helps somebody be in a place where they can be strong enough to not serve sin anymore, to not do the things they were doing in terms of a lifestyle of sin. And that's given over in verse 3. The evidence for it is he says in verse 3, "For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles." He's saying, you used to live in the way that the Gentiles lived. And he describes what that looked like. When we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, lasciviousness is like outward sexual, overt sexual desire and lifestyle. Lust obviously deals with the same kind of like just living for the senses, living for what you want. Excess of wine, it's talking about drunkenness. Reveling, same thing, banquetings and abominable idolatries. Essentially, if you put all these together and kind of get a picture, it's like a party lifestyle, a lifestyle that's just given over to your tastes, your feeling, your emotions, your comfort, your sexual proclivities. He said that's how you used to live. That used to be your mindset. But if you arm yourself with the mindset of Christ and you're willing to suffer for doing right, the strength that it takes to be there, the growth that it takes to get to the place where you'll suffer for Christ, the mindset that you have to be able to suffer for Christ is a mindset that's going to be completely different than your old lifestyle, that old party, fleshly, lustly lifestyle. So again, what's the objective statement? The objective statement is this, that every believer can walk faithfully, parentheses, in persecution, by sharing these three similarities with Jesus. The first similarity being that you have the same mind, that mind to be willing to suffer for doing the right thing and to put away those old lifestyles. So the first similarity is the same mind. The second similarity we see is that we have the same message as Jesus. We find that in verses 4 through 6, the same message. Verse 4, "Wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excesses of riot, speaking evil of you." So he's again talking about those people that are partying like you used to party, they may think it's weird. We certainly have that at our church. We've had people even in the last couple of years who have gotten right with the Lord and they've been saved and now they're starting to live differently. They're not drinking like they used to drink. They're not partying like they used to party. And they have friends that are going, man, you're just not as fun anymore. You know, what happened to you? Why are you living like you're living? And they may even talk about him. It says, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them which are dead, that they may be judged according to the men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. Essentially what he's saying is, when you live with the same mind as Jesus, you're recognizing that you're going to give an account, not to these people who think it's weird of you. You're going to give an account to God one day of how you live. And it's that, because you're going to give an account, you understand you're going to give an account for the way you live. That's why the gospel was necessarily to be preached to you, right? The good news that Jesus died for your sins. So that's the idea here. Is the reason you got the gospel is because you needed to be transformed, and that's what ended up happening. That's what ended up happening for you. So that's this idea of having the same message. The gospel purifies us, and we live according to it, understanding that that is what's going to allow us to live like Jesus did in that same way. We also see here that the third similarity is that we have the same ministry that Jesus had. Verses 7 through 11. But the end of all things is at hand. But ye therefore, be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received a gift, even so minister the same to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So he's essentially saying here, you need to imitate Jesus in the way that he ministered. You have this idea, he's coming back, it's going to be the end. And so you need to be loving. He says fervent in charity. He says, be hospitable. Be hospitable to each other. Take care of each other and your needs. Whatever gifts that God's given to you, verse 10, use those gifts to minister to one another. You've been given salvation. You've been given spiritual gifts. Use all of those things, those graces of God that's been given to you to minister, just like Jesus did. And he says, and if you speak, make sure you say what God says. If you minister, do it in God's ability. That in the end, not you're glorified, but that God would be glorified, and that Jesus Christ would be glorified. And he ends with this praise, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. And so, man, faithfulness to God, especially in difficulty, is well defined here. You have three different similarities, right? Same mind. You think like Jesus. You arm yourself with his mindset. You have the same message. The gospel is about changing us, transforming us from the inside out. You have that same message of being dead to sin, alive to Christ. And then you have the same ministry that once you think right and you believe right and you have the right message, then you use that message and mindset to minister through all of that. So I hope this helps you think through the text, and that you try to apply this to life as you teach it to your class on Sunday. Thanks a lot.